atmosphere.
Mm. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, are you in the right place tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. God has prepared your heart to receive great things out of His hand tonight. Hallelujah. Really believe that. I want to get straight into the service because I really believe this is going to be a setting free, liberating word that you're going to hear tonight. Hallelujah. So what I want to share with you and just get straight into it tonight is living in victory. How many of you would love to live in victory? Okay, can I see you? If you really want to live in victory, can I see you? Okay, let me ask this question. How many of you are living in victory? Well, that wasn't the same amount of hands, I want to tell you. Some of you are also lying when you put up your hand, but it's fine. We work with liars, yeah? Hallelujah. You see, it's not just a statement, living in victory. It's a lifestyle. And it's so wonderful because, you know, we can preach a lot of sermons about living in victory, and it sounds so lacking, and it's a nice words, living in victory. But what does it really mean? What is it that God has for me so that I can live in victory? Can I say this? Jesus made it possible that you can live in victory. There's not one of you sitting here tonight. If you're born again and you're a spirit-filled child of God, you can live in victory. It's an absolute fact of life. You know, there's a guy by the name of Watchman Nee. I don't know if any of you have read any of his books. Amazing guy. I've read a lot. Growing up as a younger Christian, that helped me a lot in my maturing and in my growing. And I used to preach a lot of Watchman Nee stuff. But Watchman Nee made this statement. Listen to this. He says, a long-lasting victory. You see, victory is not just for today or tomorrow. Victory is for a lifetime. Listen to that, church. Victory is for a lifetime. Amen. You need to embrace that. Because you're not living in victory just today or tomorrow or the next day. You're living in victory for a lifetime. Till Jesus comes or until we go bury you. We need to live in victory. He says, living, long-lasting victory can never be separated from a long-lasting standing firm on the foundation of the cross of Jesus. You see, because that is the essence of my faith. Jesus said it, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross, follow me. If you don't want to, you're not worthy of being my disciple. Every day, our foundation that we built from is the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did and what He did on the cross for us. So last week, we spoke about power and authority. The fact that Jesus not only came to display power and authority, and we can read it through these beautiful scriptures, He didn't only come to display power and authority, but He came, listen, to deposit power and authority into our lives so that we can live a life of victory, which is what I want to talk to us about tonight. So I want to say this to you tonight. I want us to look at the power of the new covenant. How many times have you read it, or you've heard Jesus say, or you've heard it quoted or said, and you think, wat beteken nou eintlik, 'n nuwe verbond? When we take communion, and next Sunday, for those of you that were in the southern suburbs, I shared this word, and I'm going to share it with a few extra here and there. But we're going to talk, we're having communion here next Sunday. But I'm going to teach you something about communion, how it comes, why we do it. So next Sunday, come bring people. Praise God. I believe God will speak to people. I'm going to show you some amazing clips. I tell you, it stirred the God's eye. There wasn't a dry eye in the house last Sunday. But what I want to say is I want us to talk about the new covenant. Because Jesus, we take the little cup and we drink in the new covenant. But what does that really mean? What does it mean to you and to I? And the reason I want to say this, that I'm focusing on this, is because it's very easy for us to live far below what God has for us and far less than what God intended for us. So we need to embrace this incredible truth. I'm so excited about this word, you know, just going through it, putting it together, thinking it, these thoughts. Man, it's just exciting because I believe it's a liberating word you're going to hear tonight. As jy 'n kind van die Here is en jy gaan geloof gebruik om in te hak by hierdie waarheid, you cannot be the same again. Just please hear me tonight. Listen, It's easy to settle for things that God never intended for you to settle for. And there's a lot of people that are settling for a lifestyle and a way of life that God never intended for you. Is it waar? Is he waar it? Is he waar it? So often you see Christians, listen, battling with the same old addictions, the same old bad habits, the same old critical attitudes, the same old negative mindset. They settle for things that God never intended for them to settle for. Daar's oorwinning. You don't have to carry that stuff anymore. You don't have to go through that stuff anymore. God is here to release you and set you free tonight. Amen. Why? Because we have a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. God didn't create us to keep battling and going over the same problems and the same habits and the same addictions. He never created us to be average or to barely just get by. God didn't want you to just barely get by, man. Amen. Just listen to this wonderful scripture, Isaiah 30 verse 18, really just stirred my heart again. And this is so God speaking to us through His Word. And He says this, the Lord earnestly waits. I want you to visualize God sitting looking at you tonight, not the whole of us. He's looking at you personally tonight. God is sitting, He's looking at you. And the Bible said He waits for, and God is looking, and God is longing to do what? To be good to you. Say, God wants to be good to me. Do you really believe that? God will goed wees vir jou. He says, God wants to do good to you. To who's you? You is this, who expect, who look for, and long for His goodness, His favor, and His victory. You see, God het alles gedoen. Maar jy kan nie net sit en hy gaan dit in jou skoot sit nie. Jy moet van jou dusty, rusty afklim and you got to get moving in faith and begin to embrace these truths and make them your own. Speak them, live them. Get out of that old lifestyle of negative stuff. Amen? We need to do that. Listen, God doesn't only want to bless you and to be good to you. He wants to give you victory as well. Hy wil hê ons moet 'n oorwinnaars lewe lewe. He created us to live an abundant life. Not to live under our circumstances or under our problems, but to be on top of it. And He's empowered us to do that. Hoe gaan dit met jou broer? Nee, onder die omstandighede. Ek sê, halleluja, wat maak jy daar onder, broer? Kom uit. Jou duivel. Get out of here. Listen, Psalm 44 verse 3 says, they did not conquer by their own strength. Who? Did they conquer by their own strength? What I've just read. No, they didn't conquer by their own strength. Don't miss that. They didn't conquer by their own strength or their own skills. So it's nothing to do with you, listen to me. But by your mighty power and because you smiled upon them and you favored them. Isn't that so fantastic? It's by His power, His authority and anointing which He's put in my life so that I can live a victorious life. God's power is available to you to live in victory. Say, thank you, Jesus. His power is available to you and to me. As God's children, listen to me, church. There's a special power that's available to us, and it's called the covenant. God has a covenant with us. Man, I hope you're going to embrace this when I'm finished with this tonight and it's going to become a part of your life. We have a special power that is available to us through this covenant, and it's there ever since the resurrection of Jesus. When Jesus rose up, the devil het 'n bloed bek gekry. And there's a covenant for the church, for everyone that will say, yes, come into my life, Jesus. Your Holy Spirit comes in me. I'm born again. I'm alive. Hallelujah. I live for you, Jesus. And now you begin to walk with this Jesus, man. And you have power and you have authority and you have an anointing on your life because there was a covenant that was sealed which ensures you will receive what He promised you to receive. Amen. So there are two covenants. Listen, the Bible is made up of two covenants. The old covenant and then the new covenant through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we all know there are two covenants. Everybody happy with that? There's two covenants. That's why sometimes people read the Bible and they don't quite understand it. And I'm hoping you're going to get a new passion and a new thirst and a new hunger for the Old Testament when I'm finished here tonight. So the first covenant was formed between God and between Abraham through circumcision. The second covenant was formed between God and us through Jesus Christ. Isn't that so wonderful? Man, God come and He makes sure that what He has promised for us, the best for the Oaks, that he loves so much, this crazy human race. Net God kan ons lief hê. Nee, daai ou wat jy nie speel kyk elke dag. Net die Here kan lief wees vir daai ou. Hey, al dink jy jy's smart, maar dis nie smart nie. So we have these two covenants, God and Abraham, God and us through Jesus Christ. And it all started when Adam and Eve were disobedient in the garden. And from then on, the relationship between God and man became very, very strained. So what does God do? God devised the plan to restore this incredible broken relationship. Aren't you glad Jesus did, God did that? After they sinned, God had already had a plan. You know, I read something the other day and I thought this is so true. And ek's not sure of any Afrikaans word, but I wrote it here in English. I wrote here, has it ever occurred to you? In other words, has it ooit al in your gedachtes opgekom? Have it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? You know why? God doesn't go, oh yes, oh that's lekker. No, he knows everything, man. There's nothing that's happened without his creator. He's the creative force behind everything. It doesn't occur to God, it occurs to us. Whoa, dis wonder ek nou verstaan ek. God kom nie dan en sê, oh nou verstaan ek ook. No, because he's God, hallelujah. He's the God van die heelal. He's the magnificent one. Amen. It's interesting how God puts us together. Listen to me. God tells Abraham he's going to form a blood covenant with Abraham. He tells Abraham that. And in Genesis 17 verse 10, he says, listen, God says to Abraham, from now on, you and all your male descendants will be circumcised. And so if you go read in the passage and go do a bit of study and reading in that passage there in Genesis, then all males up until the day 8 of their age, until they were 8, up until 8 days of their age, whatever the heck, they were 8. I'm going to have some water until they're growing, these kids. And they were snipped at 8. Eight days old, they got the cutting. Hallelujah. Listen, through this act of cutting, I want you to understand this now. Through the act of the flowing of blood, a covenant was established. You see, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin, the Bible says. If blood had to flow. What a painful way for the manna. But anyway, that's another story for another day. Now, God went on to say to Abraham, listen, you and I will become blood brothers. You will be a covenant man and you will be a friend of God. And when we go read the Bible, you see he was a friend of God. God spoke to him. He had this incredible relationship with God. Why? Because he had a covenant with God. And at the age, listen to this. At the age of 99, he was circumcised and he entered into that covenant with God. At the age of 99. That's before he had little Isaac. Don't let your mind go there. A moment, listen to me. A covenant is established. I want you to get this. Everything that belongs to the one blood brother is available to the other blood brother. Everything that Abraham had belonged to God. And everything that belonged to God now through a blood covenant belonged to Abraham. Can I say this tonight? Everything that belongs to God through the covenant belongs to you. We are very rich and we don't always realize it. But we'll talk more about that. God was saying in effect this. Now that we're in a covenant relationship, everything is yours, says the Lord. How many of you read Deuteronomy 28? Many times we know it because it's all the blessings and the curses. Which is really interesting because if you go read, and it's in the Homestyle Notes for this week, but if you go read Deuteronomy 1, 28 chapter 1 from verse 1 to 14, it's all the blessings. From 14 to 46, I want to tell you all the curses. Ons moet kan bietjie iets leer uit die story. God moes ons eindelijk een story vertel het. So we'd wakker us up. But listen, God told him in Deuteronomy 28 that as long as he keeps the covenant, he will be blessed in the city, he will be blessed in the country. The fruit of the womb will be blessed, his crops will be blessed. Your livestock, your herds, your flocks, it'll all be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and you will be blessed when you go out. Listen, and so it carries on and on, blessing upon blessing. Because why? Because of the covenant that God had with him. What was God's was now Abraham's. Abraham walked in a covenant. God made a covenant and a promise with him. Notice that he had rights and privileges. Why? Because of the covenant of God. What an incredible man. What a promise. And when you go read the scriptures over there, you see God's promise, that God made a promise for him, and that promise would be for time and eternity. Whatever he promised to him, do you know what? That promise is for you and I tonight as well. We have a covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Listen, they had right. They had a right to supernatural blessings, supernatural protection, supernatural favor, all because of the covenant. Think about David for Daniel for a minute. They chucked Daniel in the lion's den. The lion's den. They put him in there. And yeah, these lekker uitgevrede honger leeuws licking their lips and they can't do anything. He's a man who understood covenant from Abraham. Shadrach, Meshach, and Satsak and the other broochie. Yeah, the oaks are. They throw a big fire there and they chuck him in a fire and they walk around. There's a fourth oak that walks with them. They don't come out. They don't even smell like they've had a bride place, I tell you. On a rally. As your leather so. Jy wil van jouself af weghardloop. Hulle het niks geruik, gestink nie. The other oaks, I wanted to chuck them in there. They burnt singed. It was so hot. Why? Because they knew we will not bow our knees to you because we only bow our knees to the one whom we have a covenant with. Hallelujah. But I think one of the most beautiful stories is about David. David, a descendant, 13 generations later from Abraham, 1,300 years later, he's a great example of somebody that understood the power of covenant. And I'll tell you why. Even as a young man, he knew that God was with him and that he was able to defeat the enemies. When the lion came, he knew, ek het 'n verhouding met hierdie God. What's God's is mine. Kom, Lukey, laat ons mekaar hierso aanvat. And guess who came second best? The Lukey. En die beertjie. En hy was nie 'n beertjie nie, hy was 'n meneer beer. David tackled his one leg and broke it, and then he cried, and then he slapped him. No, he didn't do that. Because a bear's like seriously big, wasn't it? He gave him the lion, and then he gave him the bear. It was getting him ready for Goliath. But anyway, that's just the other story. You see, Goliath was 9 feet tall. Listen, he was the champion of the Philistine army, and he was out there mocking the Israelites of God. So David's brothers, I mean, what were they doing? They were shivering and shaking. You could hear the armor rattle when you came near them. Because they were so bung. But yeah, they're the army of God who should know they're in a covenant. You see, it just so reminds me of so many Christians. Ons is so bang vir die omstandighede wat ons in. You don't have to be onder hulle, you can be above them. You don't have to shake, you can rejoice. Because the King of Glory, He lives in you, man. And you have a covenant with this God. Hallelujah. Please get that in your heart. What's amazing is that young David, he wasn't afraid at all. He says to King Saul, and remember, he's talking to the king, and they had great respect for the king. And we see the story how he respected Saul when Saul was chasing him. So he comes with great respect to the king, and he says, this is probably the first time that he would have come and actually spoken to the king, David. So he says to him, King Saul, obviously, the oak he's coming to talk to, he's nie in a goeie bay nie, jy weet, want almal kyk na hom, en hy is die koning, en hulle is almal bangbroeke, hier sit hulle, lekker nervous. But little David comes up to him, listen to what he says. Let no one lose heart on account of these Philistines. Your servant will go and fight him. Just think about that one for a minute. He has a whole army fully clad in chiefs. They got all the equipment on. Here comes this little oak with his little like thing on, yeah. Whatever he wore, little David, how they draw him. With a goeie over here, with his little sling. And here he comes, just his little youngster, the youngest of all the brothers. And he says, No, I'm going to take on this oak. I mean, can you imagine? The oaks looked at him and said, okay, please, man, go. Go back to the sheep, man. Well, what is your case here? What a thing to say to the king. And basically saying to the king, don't be scared. Yes, it's like saying, hey, king, you mustn't be scared. Yet David was a young teenager, a shepherd boy, and he'd had no military experience. He didn't go to the military war or the recces or some of those. Oaks that wreck you when you go there. So listen to me. How come he was so confident? You know why? He was in a, what does that say? A covenant. Say, I'm in a covenant with Jesus. You need to pick up on this, church. Isn't it this lekker story, David? It's a story that we can embrace and make our own. You can bring it to life in your life tonight. So he knew he was in a covenant. He knew that God was with him. He knew he had power and authority from Almighty God because the mighty God was on him. And this is what he says to his brothers. I love this. Who is this, hear the word, uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? You see, yes, this man, David, knew he's in a covenant with God. Due to, because when he was 8 years old, he was circumcised too. Why are you doing that to me, Mom? Because God said we must do it, because we're in a covenant with God. And when we do it and we're obedient to the word of God, then the blessings of God come upon my life. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I want to say to you, who is this one? In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, he goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Who are you, you uncircumcised Satan? You have no right. Resist him in the name of Jesus and he will flee from you, says the Bible. Exactly the same attitude he had that day. So what did he mean by uncircumcised? David was saying, how dare you come against us without a covenant, a relationship with Almighty God, and think that you can defeat us? I love what he says to his brother, what David says to him. You come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. I come against you, listen to this, in the name of the Lord God of Israel. See, a couple of weeks, Pastor Leonard spoke about the name of Jesus. You don't really know what you've got when you say, in the name of Jesus. It's like Robin was praying upstairs. There's all sorts of gods. Everybody's God. Everybody's got a God. You name the religion, you've got a God. But just go into that same conversation and say, Jesus, the oak shiver and shake, man. And you know, I've said that many times here before of this pulpit. You see the Christians, and they sit in a restaurant, and they pray, Father, thank you for this food in the name of Jesus. You know. Until it's the scam of my name, Jesus, to gebruik. It's an offensive name to those that are going lost. Because Satan hates that name. And he comes against him in the name of the, in the name, say name, of the Lord our God. We come against him in the name of Jesus today. Why? Because we have a covenant with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You see, he knew that he was a covenant man, that Almighty God, the creator of the universe, was there to back him up. Do you know that God has got your back? You believe that tonight? God's got your back. So listen, here's the good news. You and I are in a much better covenant than the one that David and Abraham were in. Do you know that? It's important that we understand our rights and our privileges, church. We need to understand it. It's not going to do us any good if we're ignorant and we don't understand this covenant relationship that we're in. Man, this has got to be one of the nicest scriptures in the Bible, which is a promise to you and I as we sit here tonight. Listen to this. Galatians 3, verse 14. He's talking about Jesus. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come upon us Gentiles. How? Through Jesus Christ. Listen, when you read the Old Testament and you see the blessings of God and the provision of God and the breakthroughs of God, and we quote it and we give it to one another, Isaiah 41 verse 10, my favorite scripture, I love to give it to anybody. Fear not, you have nothing to fear. The Lord God is with you. Listen, that's the covenant God of Abraham, but he's still the covenant God of Jesus Christ for you today. Dis nie 'n Ou Testamentiese kwotasie nie. Nee, dis 'n lewende woord wat in jou lewe moet lewe. Al is it Ou Testament of Nuwe Testament, because we have the blessing of Abraham. Why? Because Jesus came to ensure we have the blessing of God on our lives. Just, I'll tell you, you should be excited now. I'll excuse you if you run around the circle, yeah. Because we have that same blessing that was on Abraham is available to you and I. We have power over our enemies harassing you. Maybe there's sickness, addiction, discouragement, lack, poverty, you name what it is. In the natural, you can't see that you're going to overcome it. But remember that you're a covenant child and Almighty God has got your back. Hallelujah. We've got to start believing it. Not only believe it, we've got to start living it. I love what in 1 Samuel 17 verse 47, the Bible says, the battle is the Lord's. Stand back and watch God fight for you. Isn't those the wonderful promises when they were all bangbroeke over there and the enemy was coming? Then Elijah says, he says, God, open their eyes so they can see those that are for us are more than those that are against us. He said, hulle is bang for a militaire aanslag. And then all of a sudden God shows them and he just checks all of these myriads of legion of angels just about to beat them up. Now that must be very exciting. Hallelujah. I think some of us need a bit of a revelation like that. He has a scripture that was quoted in Matthew 5 or 6. Who knows? Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. You all know that. Listen, Joshua 1 verse 5, that's where that comes from. He says, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Why? Because of the covenant, you have rights, you have privileges, you have protection, you have power available to you. I'm going to read it again. I want you to embrace this. Because of the covenant, you have rights, you have privileges, you have protection, and you have power available to you tonight. In the Old Testament, they understood the power of the covenant. They understood the power of the blood. They understood that blood must flow. That's why they had so many different animal sacrifices. Listen to me. But in this new covenant that you and I are in tonight, the price has already been paid once and for all. Not by bulls or rams or goats, but by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is het gesterwe op die kruis, man. So that you and I can walk in this amazing covenant with Him. When Jesus hung on that cross before He died, what did He say? It is finished. I have come to fulfill the covenant. You don't have to be circumcised anymore. Isn't that wonderful? Paul writes it in the Galatians. He says, circumcised or uncircumcised, Jew or Greek, we all are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. The promises of God are ours. We didn't deserve it. God had it for us, gee gratis for nothing, free of charge. Amen. It is just for you to, by grace, go and take it, embrace it, and begin to live it, begin to speak it, begin to act like you're an overcomer. Tonight I'm talking about living a victorious life. Hallelujah. He was saying in the old covenant, He was saying to us, it's over and the new covenant has begun. And the Bible says in Hebrews that this covenant is a better covenant. It was good from Abraham all the way through until Christ came and died on the cross. But let me tell you, Hebrews 7:22 says, because of this oath God made with us, Jesus is the one who guarantees this better covenant with God. Listen, if the covenant was good with Abraham, and we've got a lack of story about it, how much more is it for you and for me tonight? It's a better covenant. Aren't you thankful to Jesus that you walk in under a better covenant tonight? Hallelujah. Because of what Christ did 2,000 years ago, He paid for us to live a life of victory and success and not a life of mediocrity or failure or defeat or thinking poorly the way we do. Because He didn't come and say, you must barely get by or you must just exist. No, no. What did He say in John 10 verse 10? He said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have this life to the full. Abundantly, actually, that translation. Oorvloedige lewe. God wil hê, jy moet 'n oorvloedige lewe. Are you hearing me tonight, somebody? Maybe you're saying, ach, it's been like this for so long. I hear what you're saying, Pastor. I can't see how I'm going to ever change. I want to say this to you, and I want to put it up out there so you can read it with me. You've got to get rid of that defeated mentality and start seeing yourself as God sees you, a covenant man and a covenant woman. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what your problems are. When you begin to look to Jesus and God has a covenant for you and God's concerned about every detail of your life, no matter what that detail is now, God wants to give you a breakthrough. Stop running back to your defeatist confessions. Begin to confess the living word of God. Amen. If you chucked all your rubbish outside you when I asked you tonight, you're going to walk out the door. It's going to come back to you. It's not going to leave you. But you know what? You're not going to be under it anymore. You're going to be above it. Hallelujah. Because that's what Jesus wants for you and for me. Praise be to God. Because of this incredible covenant, listen to me, your freedom has already been paid for. We need to learn to stop speaking defeat over every area of our lives. You need to start saying, listen, maybe we should say this together. Say that together. 1, 2, 3. I'm in a covenant relationship with Almighty God, and I've got His power, authority, and favor available to me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Let's read it again. I'm in a covenant relationship with Almighty God. I've got His power, authority, and favor available to me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Let's give God a hand for that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you think I'm going to finish now, eh? But I can't finish now. There's still lots more coming. Praise the Lord. Where's his sister? Can I ask you this? What about your past failures? Have you messed up? We all have, eh? Don't talk about the way you used to be. Talk about the way you're going to be. Don't talk about the way you used to be. Begin to talk about the way you are going to be from tonight. God, I'm in a covenant with you. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. You may be thinking, I know I'm negative. I don't feel like having a good attitude today. Ever said that? People come talk to you and yes, miserable, and jy wil net miserable wees. Jy wil net hardnekkig wees. Jy wil net moeilik wees. Niemand gaan my verander nie. Niemand wil jou verander nie, jou vrotvel. Gaan aan met jou pity parties. I know I'm doing wrong, people will say, but I don't feel like doing what's right. What a terrible place to be in your life. But listen to me. It's easy to be passive. Anybody can be stupid like that. Listen. It's easy to learn to function, hear this, in your dysfunction. Ons raak so gewoond om sleg te lewe en stupid te lewe en ongoddelik te lewe en ons probleme and we do nothing about it. So we get happy in our dysfunction because God is there somewhere. And then I connect with him at church, but the moment I walk out that door, I go back to my old fraught old ways. Listen, God doesn't want you to do that anymore. Amen. So listen, get used to your dysfunction and keep on making excuses and to justify what you're doing. But that's not what God has made you to be. He hasn't made you to be like that. We should be in the same place. We shouldn't be in the same place next year as what we are right now. Otherwise, there's something wrong with your spiritual life. If you continually in the same place, in fact, probably worse because there's no neutral place. You're either going backwards or forwards. Amen. Amen. You know our theme for this year? How many of you would still remember it? That 2018 will not be business as usual. You know, I can honestly say, I know there are people sitting in this church that it's still business as usual. You've not increased in your walk with God. And I don't say that to judge you. I just say that to wake you up a little bit. Because tonight you're without excuse. Because you've been empowered with a word that will liberate you. You have a covenant with Almighty God through His Son Jesus. Amen? You can live differently. We can live differently. God wants us to consistently be growing and coming up higher and walking closer to Him. You've all seen at the circus, they got these groot olifante. You know the story. When that little olifant is a little olifant, they take him and they train him. They tie him with a heavy chain. It hurts him. The SPC oaks or the animal cruelty oaks, they tackle these oaks because of this. But they tie this thing around his foot with a heavy chain and a lock. He can't come out of it. And they knock a peg 4 meters into the ground. Hy kan nie die ding beweeg nie. And he tries and he gooies his ears and he pulls and he drags and he carries on. And he grows up tied to that thing. They feed him there and everything. And then one day they just loosen him. And then they take him to the circus and they train him. And then when the circus arrives in town, they tie a rope around him. Listen, a rope, I ask you with question in my eyes. An elephant with a little rope. And they knock in this little peg. And guess what the dude stays? He stands there. Because he knows, programmed, I can't get away from you. Because I've been programmed. Listen to me, I want to tell you this. And I'll tell you this story for a reason. God has loosed the chains of defeat, of addictions, of bad habits, of bad thinking, of fear, of lacking, of discouragement. But the problem is that we're not taking the step forward and walking away from the nonsense in our lives. We're allowing what you're going through to overwhelm you. But God is greater than what's overwhelming you. Listen to this tonight. The power of the covenant. You can live a victorious life. Do you agree with me tonight? Maybe you think I've always had this problem with my temper or I've always had this addiction. You need to realize that you've been set free 2,000 years ago. You were already set free. Defray it is klaar. You've just got to embrace it. Says, I must give my temper to God. No, God doesn't have a temper. He doesn't want yours. Give it back to the devil. He can handle it. Says, hand it over to him in the name of Jesus. You uncircumcised Satan. throw that little clip like David at him in, with the word of God and destroy them in that attitude in your life. Change your attitude. God has already loosened the chains that held you back. But it's up to you and I to walk away from it. We need to walk away from it. Listen to me, church. You have power and authority over every enemy in your life. Did you hear what I just said? You have power and authority over every, say every, every enemy in your life. The enemy of worry. What does Philippians 4:6 says? To worry about nothing, but pray about everything. You know, mostly we worry about everything and pray about nothing. It's true. Kijk, as jy daar opgestaan het, en jy is 'n verbondskind, en wat God sê is myne, and I get up from that prayer, and I've asked God, in the name of Jesus, man, I know my circumstances are going to change. And if they don't change today, tomorrow, next week, let me tell you something, I will be able to handle it with the peace of God, because the Bible says, the peace of God will come over you, and it will transcend, it will garrison like an army over your mind, and you will walk in victory. You will smile at the storm, let me tell you. Your enemy of worry, depression, addiction, the enemy of lack, the enemy of poverty. You have power and authority over all of them. Why? Because of the covenant, church. Just listen to the scripture. Merik, here it is. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work on the inside of every one of us tonight. Romans 8 verse 1 says, the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you. Now, you know, it's very easy to just read that because it sounds lekker. Listen, the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Listen, He lives in you. You have a covenant with a God who loves you so much. He made a covenant. He wanted so to have you walk in victory that He sent His Son to die a cruel death on the cross. We're going to look at that next Sunday. So that what? So that you can live a victorious life. Amen. There is nothing in your life that you cannot overcome. Say this with me. There's nothing in my life that I cannot overcome. Say, I believe that. There is no hurt too big to forgive. There is no failure in your past that you can't let go of. There is no medical report that God cannot change. So I want to add this in, and it's on that side. I'm asking us tonight, don't settle for things that are less than God's best for your life. Your chain has been loosed. The price has been paid. Jesus said, it is finished. Next week, we're going to take His blood in the new covenant. And next week, it'll mean a lot more to you when you take the covenant drink in the new covenant, because the blessing and the favor of God from Genesis to Revelation is yours for the taking. Do you believe that? Come, let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank You. Lord, I thank You so much. Because, Father, without the anointing and liberating presence of Your Holy Spirit, this was just a lacquer story. But it's more than a story. It's a message about a God who loved His people so much that He gave His only begotten Son. To ensure, when You made that covenant with Abraham, Father, and You made the promises and the blessings, and You said the blessings will be forever and ever. Jesus came to enforce it, that we don't have to sacrifice bulls and lambs, and we don't have to have sacrificial, because the Lamb Jesus suffered once and for all to ensure that we can walk in the blessing and the favor of God. I pray over us as a church tonight, Lord. Jesus, that You would come and that You would strengthen our faith again tonight. To realize that we are covenant brothers and sisters. That we are heirs of the Father, joint heirs with Jesus. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to us. Jesus, as a will and a testament. Lord, we know in the world when somebody dies, they have to die before we can inherit. Jesus, You died so that we could inherit. And then You rose again to make sure that we will get our inheritance. because you have a covenant with us. Thank you for the beauty of that covenant tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we can live in victory. We can live a victorious life because of what Jesus did. Father, I want to pray for you to come now and enable your church. And if anybody's listening to these words, Father, over a CD or over the electronic media, that you would encourage them right now to know, Lord, that you're concerned about every detail of our lives. There's nothing that slips the all-seeing eyes of God that you want for us. Whatever we need to change to come back into line, would you do that, Father? Strengthen us. Forgive us. Purify us. In the name of Jesus, we want to ask it, Lord. And as our eyes are bowed and our eyes are closed and our heads bowed tonight, I just want to ask, if there's somebody sitting here, I've spoken about this Jesus that died, but if you're sitting here tonight and you've never made a commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, jy het nog nie jou hart vir die Here gegee nie, jy weet dit. Jy het nie 'n verhouding met hierdie Jesus wie 'n verbond gesluit het met die mensdom. If that is you, just slip up your hand quickly and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Is there anybody that has not made a commitment yet to Jesus? Always love to give that opportunity. The greatest decision anybody can ever make. If you're sitting here and you want to say yes to Jesus, just slip up your hand high quickly so we can see. Is there anybody here? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I trust that every one of you are walking in a beautiful relationship with Jesus. Covenant children of God. Amen. God bless you. I trust you learned something tonight and you're excited that you can live.